If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, paid the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, all my life.
Welcome to Darren and Sterling here, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com, live in studio on a still pretty nice, especially for the end of November, Tuesday afternoon. Darren, how you doing?
Doing better than the stock market is right now. So
yikes, not good?
Oh, it dropped like, well, the Dow dropped like 500 points this morning.
How's the S&P?
I didn't pay attention. I know the NASDAQ dropped probably as much as 350 today.
Yikes.
Before I think it's back up to like minus 250.
Hey, baby, buy.
No, sell.
No, you hold.
No. When it opened this morning, you wanted to sell because it was off of fears of the Omicron, which sounds like a Transformer movie, but the virus.
Buy low, sell high. You yes, got to buy
baby.
But
the market started off high. And then it dropped.
Now you buy when it's dipping, baby.
Yeah, but you got to wait till it gets to its lowest point.
Yikes.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Sheesh. This ain't good.
For who?
Oh, man.
Probably not good for who bought that Rolls Royce either.
It ain't good for anyone, baby. Well, this is not a financial advice show. You shouldn't take our financial advice, but you'll get some advice later on bets, I'm sure. Darren and I are going to go through a long slate of NBA games. Big game on tap, obviously, with the Warriors and the Suns.
Yes.
First, though, Kyle Long activated off the PUP list for the Chiefs. Big news.
I forgot he was still on the team, too. It had been so long, I forgot he was still on the team.
It's been since – we haven't heard about him since training camp, and this is per – Matt Verderam, who I work with, I trust over there, Airhead Addict, Fansided, all that good stuff he does.
Hold on. Ain't that the guy that be stealing my – no, just play. That's my guy.
Verderam's awesome.
Hey, I do have to pick on him every now and then. Like, hey, man, if you're going to take some of those comments that come from these players, I'm like, understand who's asking these questions. Everybody knows who asks the tough questions, but go ahead.
He is fantastic. I like Verderam. But this was the final day they could – activate Kyle Long. If they didn't activate him today, then he would have been out for the rest of the season. So this to me shows that one, they need some depth, and two, they think he's good enough. Because if they didn't think he was ready, if they didn't think he could be a contributor at some point, they probably would have left him on the PUP list. No harm, no foul. He doesn't suit up. Chiefs go with someone else. This, to me, shows they think that he is going to contribute at some point this season.
I agree, but then if he doesn't perform at all, then you've wasted a year's contract on somebody who couldn't contribute. So, but as you can tell, you obviously want to have depth at the offensive line position, and that's something that he sorely brings to the team, especially if he – now, I don't know – he's more of a guard than he is a tackle, am I correct?
Correct.
Yeah,
he can play tackle, but he's primarily a right guard.
But the way the Chiefs have been moving this season, the only position they really have to worry about is right tackle. I mean, obviously because of the health of Lucas Niang and Mike Remmers, but they're solid everywhere else. I mean, now you can obviously have depth if you want to spell somebody, but the way you know, from Brown all the way over to Smith, they don't come out the ball game.
No.
I mean, if you're going to play him, it's going to be more so to have additional depth, maybe going four deep down at that right tackle side, because I really can't see, I mean, unless Thuney's hand starts to mess with him or something like that, that he sees any playing time at any other position right now.
No, I think the only – to me, one, this indicates that maybe right tackle isn't as locked up. They might not trust the guys they have, Niang, Rimmers, coming off of injury. They might throw Kyle Long in that situation, at least as a emergency backup. And I don't know what this means for someone like Andrew Wiley, because Wiley is, so far, he's been that break in case of emergency, and he's been used at right tackle, and he's been okay. But Kyle Long seems like that break in case of emergency. To me, when those two guys, Rimmers and Niang, comes back, is Wiley the guy who's gone?
I don't think so, because I think the Chiefs know the importance of having depth. I mean, now you let the doctor go because he wanted to play.
Sure.
Right now it is past. It is past the trade deadline and anything. So the only way you let them go is if they request to be cut and you cut them or something like that. But I can't see a scenario where the Chiefs are getting rid of anybody else unless you're bringing other players in. Now, granted,
someone's going to have to get let go when those two dudes come back.
Well, I mean, but they're not on the injured reserve.
Not yet, but when Kyle Long gets activated the active roster.
Yeah, but I'm saying, you might take somebody else off from somewhere else. I mean, do we really need Daniel Sorensen right now? So, I mean,
well,
I know it's not going to happen.
I
know it's not going to happen. But I'd have to look through the list because, you don't have to cut somebody. I mean, because of how the COVID rosters are, you can just put somebody, you can just demote them down to the practice squad, I think. I mean, I like to think you can. I mean, I don't see a scenario where the Chiefs are just, you know, because they're coming back from injuries and you're picking someone up who's already on the team and on the roster more or less from IR, that you would just cut a different lineman. I think they'll go somewhere else. I mean, depending on how many running backs they have or football, I think the Chiefs, if anything we've learned from the Tampa Bay Super Bowl, you cannot have enough depth at the offensive line position, period.
So the Chiefs face the Broncos. Going to be a very big game. Winner of this, AFC West leaders. This seems so far-fetched. If you would have said this 4 weeks ago, you would have said, first, the Chiefs, who were in a massive slump, they'd be playing for the AFC West. And then the Broncos, who everyone, myself included, thought they had no chance. We thought they were going to fall off. Sure, the defense is great, but that offense has been abysmal. This is for the AFC West. One, how surprising is this? And two, how big of a game is this for Kansas City?
To be honest, I'm not surprised. I am surprised by where the Chiefs were at when we looked at what they were doing 5 weeks ago after they lost to the Tennessee Titans. I know you and I, and even Lebo to an extent, we were on here and we were wondering whether or not the Chiefs would actually win a game. Now, we felt that they would be able to beat the New York Football Giants, but we didn't think it was going to be a struggle. It was a Monday night game to get an extra day off, get a chance to watch all the Sunday games, and kind of take everything in. But we did not expect them to struggle the way they did, and then we felt like the way they struggled against the Giants, that if they played that same way the following week against Aaron Rodgers and company, they would get blown off the field. Well, as luck would have it, COVID struck Aaron Rodgers, took him out the game. Now, they beat him, but again, that was a struggle, went down to the wire, never should have been, but it did so. They beat him, I think it was 13-7, and now you're on to Las Vegas. Division rival, you say to yourself, got to throw it all out the window. Because it's division rivals, anything, just like this game, anything can happen. Thinking about what took place last year when I bet $1,000 on the Chiefs to cover by 8 and they covered by 4 and they cost me $1,000, I was upset. So I
should have got it back this game.
Well, no,
should have bet 2.
Not the way the team played, because then they would have lost by 45 or whatever the score was. So, but they were able to beat the Raiders. Everything was looking good, you know, from what we saw on national television. Offense, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions from Mahomes. Could have had 3 picks, but he didn't. 0 sacks. Defense looked outstanding. Okay, but it's the Raiders. You know, we said now, you know, had it been the Raiders that didn't have the John Gruden issue, didn't have the Henry Ruggs, and didn't have where the defensive back got cut that week, had they been at their full number, might look a little bit more impressive. But you're like, okay, they got a whole lot going on, so you kind of sweep that under the rug. But now you say the Dallas Cowboys are coming in. Cowboys, they had that loss to the Denver Broncos. Like, could be one of those things where they were coming off the win against Minnesota. Okay, we'll see what. But then they bounce back. They played the Atlanta Falcons. But people say, hey, you played the Raiders. Okay, it's a push. They scored 41 points. You got a high-powered team that was coming in most of their players were there. Amari Cooper, we find out later on, towards the, actually that Friday of the game, that he's out due to COVID. So it kind of changed a little, you know, when I had Clarence Hill on the show, he said, well, that does make a difference. Okay, it does, but you still got CeeDee Lamb, still got Michael Gallup, still got some ball players.
Dalton Schultz, Tony Pollard, they got guys.
Yeah, I mean, on defense, you have
Micah Parsons, who's been Trayvon the Diggs. Best defensive player in the NFL this year.
So for me, that wasn't a good enough reason for me to think that, you know, that they can't, that it would be more of a struggle. So, but then, you know, they did what they did. They beat them. Well, the defense did their job. Yeah. Offense struggled. But they scored what they needed to score in the first half. Defense did what they did in the second half. So people asked me, I was on the Odd Couple over the weekend, and they were asking me, is the Chiefs back? So they're back defensively because they're, you know, offensively, they're in and out. But by what they did to Dallas with that defense stepping up, I feel more comfortable with the Chiefs going further that I believe that they can run the table. Now, you know, we've seen them. So it's not out the realm of possibility because they did it 2 years ago when they won 9 in a row to win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying this is the same way because they've rattled off 4 wins since their big loss to Tennessee. It was that loss to Tennessee 2 years ago that sprung the 9-game winning streak. Granted, the game was later on in November versus October when the Chiefs took them on. But if we go off of that and they run the table, now we got a 14-game win streak or 13-game. If you include the rest of the games, we got 6 games in the playoffs. So I could see a scenario where Kansas City runs the table and will end up getting the number one seed. That's a little bit down the ways, but I can see if Kansas City runs the table, I believe that the 3 teams ahead of them, obviously the Ravens, the Patriots, and the Titans all lose. Titans and the Patriots 1 more game and the Ravens 2 more games, where they'd have 5 losses, Kansas City would still have 4. They would be 13-4. So I can see a scenario where that would happen. But I say all that to say that I think that this is going to be a much tougher game because Denver, now they feel like they got something to play for. Because, again, when they made the trade to get rid of Von Miller, we thought they were dead in the water.
We thought they were breaking it apart.
And then the fact that they went down and put up 30 and kept the Cowboys scoreless until the fourth quarter, 30 and beat them 30-16. It's like, you kind of had to keep, you know, like a watchful eye on what they had going on. You still think about the Raiders and the Chargers because at the time the Chiefs had to overcome that. But now, stage is set. A lot of people were not happy when NBC flexed the game. I've already told you, I love late afternoon. I love night games. I hate noon games. So
3 o'clock's the best. I will stand by it. 3 o'clock, 3:25. If you're going to the game especially, that's the best time to go.
Yeah, look, and I have no problem with that. But the fact that it's a night game and the magnitude of it, because Kansas City needs to win these games, especially the next 3 weeks, because they're all against division opponents. And you got to have the game against the Chargers because otherwise they sweep you. So you've got to win that game. This game, not saying it's not important, but you need to have it because you have a leg up and stay a leg up on them. To, you know, so the last game doesn't become a must-win game for you. So I think Kansas City, as we prepare for this, I think the bye week came at such a great time for them.
Yep.
You know, if they were injured or anything like that, the one thing that Kansas City has had going in their favor, especially this year, to an extent, 2018, but obviously 2019, they're getting healthy.
Yeah,
I mean defensively. I believe Rashard Finn should be okay. I know he had a leg injury in that Dallas Cowboys game. I believe, according to Andy Reid, I think Lucas Niang should be back practicing this week.
I know he's questionable. I don't know if he plays, but it's a good step in the right direction. Yeah.
So all that being said, I think Kansas City, like I said, the bye week coming. Mahomes had his charitable stuff and other players doing their thing. I think that is going to bode well for Kansas City as we look to Sunday Night Football.
The thing is, I almost feel like I need to start giving Denver more credit because they are 6-5. They've found ways to win games they probably shouldn't have, but I still don't think Denver's a very good team. And obviously Vegas is
agreeing with you or something?
Agreeing with me because it's a 10-point Chiefs favorite. I mean, 10 points in the NFL, you're like, oh, that's not that much. But NFL, that's a lot of points. I get Kansas City's at home. I understand. I don't think Denver's very good. I think their defense is fine, but it's not like their offense does anything spectacular. This is one of those games where I'm actually with you, Darren. The Chiefs win the toss. I would love to see Kansas City get the ball first.
Holy
moly. Not all the time, but in a game like this, Denver struggles playing from behind. Are you going to tell me you would want Teddy Bridgewater to try and throw 35 times?
Jinkies.
I mean, no. The question is, you don't want that. So if Kansas City can score first and play with the lead, I don't see Denver having any chance of keeping up. Again, that obviously comes with a caveat. I get Denver's secondary might be the best secondary in the NFL. But we've seen time and time again, no one can stop Travis or Tyreek Hill when they're on their game. Both those guys have struggled this season. Travis Kelce and Tyreek, I would say both, with their hands. They've had a lot of drops. You cannot have drops in this game. If they catch the football, no one can hang with them.
One of the things to keep in mind, though, Sterling, is that, as I've said, other teams did, I guess you could say, in the offseason, do what they need to do to get better to compete against Kansas City. Say that to say when you look at the Denver Broncos, they were looking to improve their defense. They didn't go after and get a franchise quarterback in the draft, in their opinion. Maybe they're waiting on an Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun, maybe something open up in the offseason. I don't think Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater are back next year. But for this game, for this division, I think they went on the defense side of the ball where if we can keep Patrick from scoring so many points, our defense gives us a chance where we can run the football. Our quarterback don't make big mistakes.
Sure.
And put us in a position to win the ball game. I'm interested to see, and I think Patrick Surtain was a little hurt coming out of Sunday's game. I mean, we'd have to check and look and see what the injury report looks like. But if that's the case, I do like the fact that matchup of Tyreek Hill and Patrick Surtain is going to get nice. It's going to get testy, and that's going to be a matchup to watch in Sunday's game, in my opinion.
Yeah. And defense for the Broncos is going to be key because, I don't think their offense is anywhere good enough to try and go score for score with Kansas City. I'm excited for this game because this would be huge for Kansas City. If they win this game, you take, what, 2-game lead on the AFC West? Is that what that would be?
Yes, I think it probably still – well, it will still be, I think, at least a game because you got the Chargers and the Raiders. But it would be a 2-game lead over the Broncos, yes. It
would be a huge confidence boost. Not only have you kept pretty much the entire AFC West, but especially the Broncos at bay for the past 6-plus years. I mean, the Broncos haven't won since, what, Peyton Manning was the quarterback in 2015? Yeah. They've been not even little brother. They've been baby brother for this long. I'm with you. I think sometimes it's a mindset situation where if you can keep them down and just keep pummeling them, Denver might even feel like they can win this game.
Man, look, I don't want to go back to the diatribe that I talked about earlier, but if you look at where Kansas City started and where they are now, I mean, remember, for more than a month, they were at the bottom of the cellar. They were at the bottom of the AFC West. They were at the bottom. I mean, they were near the bottom of this playoffs. I know you would get them during the playoffs. Don't start. It's only week 5.
And see?
But hold on. But I always told you it's a marathon. You know, my thing was, I was never freaking out, but I was always saying, hey, you got to get this stuff together because you're going to come to a point in time where the numbers are the numbers and you're going to put yourself in a situation where you can't get out of. They were fortunate. I mean, look, they were very fortunate, obviously, to be able to win the games that they did. And for other teams, as we've seen over the last month, we've seen teams lose games that you don't expect them to lose, i.e. the Buffalo Bills losing to the Jacksonville Jaguars 9-6. I mean, so it's games like that you see the Tennessee Titans losing to the Jets and to the Texans. I mean, those are – if they don't lose those two games, Sterling, this is before New England, they're going into the New England game with just one loss in the season. But because, you know, you have those type of losses, where nobody's expecting and is putting and is making you, you know, it's just, it's totally different than what we expected. is giving Kansas City new life. I mean, this is a life that Kansas City did not have prior, you know, just a month ago.
The AFC really missed their chance. This was the one year of any year that said, you know what, Kansas City, they might not have it this year. They don't have the juice. They're not playing great. The offense looks down. The defense was really, really struggling up to that point, historically bad. But no team wanted to take it. They let Kansas City hang around. And when you let the champion hang around, same thing. Tiger Woods in golf, even towards the end of his career, like the Masters. You let LeBron James, I get he's 37. You let the Lakers, LeBron, hang around in a game, he'll find a way to take it. But he's done it before. He knows how to close it. Chiefs, the same thing. The Chiefs found a way. They go, if no one's going to take this, eventually we're going to figure something out. We'll find a way. Not traditionally. Traditionally, it'd be Mahomes putting up 35 a game in this offense. But they go, we'll find a way to make it work. They found a way to make it work. Andy Reid's too good. Defense found it. Spags is too good of a coordinator.
And I don't want to take nothing away from Spags, and I said this on the Odd Couple last week. I think the defense is more so players getting healthy because now there's no excuse. Sure. You got the players back healthy, and I will say, as I mentioned on the show, the addition of Melvin Ingram paid dividends because it allows the Chiefs to right the wrong that they publicly would not ever admit that having Chris Jones on the outside was a mistake. And look, I mean, I get it. And pride is a terrible thing.
Probably Chris Jones' idea, so you can't say anything about it. You don't want to ruffle any of his feathers.
We can say it's his idea, Spags, whoever. You know, because obviously, if you think about bringing Melvin Ingram in, you're bringing him in for a reason. I'm talking about in the offseason. So if you were bringing him in, you initially didn't have ideas of Chris Jones outside because you were going to have Melvin Ingram outside on the other side of Frank Clark, especially with you having Jaren Reed in. But because of that, I think that's a bigger plus than people are giving credit for. I think I had asked Spags at the beginning of the season and during the preseason and training camp. You know, it's hard for me to think that you've had X number of players where the Chiefs didn't have that much of a turnover.
Yeah.
Now they did, obviously, offensive line, but on the defense side of the ball, you had most of your players coming back from the last two seasons.
Bashaud Breeland, maybe, but small.
Yeah, but so because the turnover on defense wasn't as great as it was on offense, to me, with these players being in your system for 3 years, you should be a top 10 defense if healthy, because the players know the plays. They know, I mean, you know, you should just be able to call the plays out, or Hitch or Tyron call the plays out. Players should already know where to line up. They should know what to do because they've been in the system for 2-3 years. And so the defense should be much improved. It shouldn't be this, if Patrick does this thing, the defense is just average. Well, you should be above average because you've been in this scheme a couple of years already, you know, minus you bringing Jaren Reed in and he's obviously a smart player playing in
Seattle.
So I know he can get it. So I believe it was a combination of that, obviously Melvin Ingram coming in, Chris Jones moving back inside, and the players being healthy, that now Spags, I mean, you know, he's a lot more animated if you see during the game, especially when now he knows that the defense is carrying the team versus the other way around. It's not the offense carrying the defense. The defense now is carrying the offense. And that's kind of giving them a little bit new life, and it's giving them a little more chutzpah when they're coming off the field.
Well, yeah, and when you have a good defense, you're always in every single game. You're always in every game. You have a good defense.
Well, as I mentioned to Rob and Chris, they're creating turnovers. That's something that they wasn't doing.
And I think it started with Chris Jones up front. Chris Jones is getting pressure on an obscene amount. And again, it's all something moving back inside.
Yeah, yeah. But to your point, getting the pressure is forcing the quarterbacks out of their rhythm and forcing them to make mistakes with the turnovers that they're able to create that they weren't doing before.
And I always said the Chiefs secondary, I think, was solid. And even when they were struggling, they weren't the biggest issue on this defense early on this season. But when you get pressure up front, it allows them to really succeed. You can't cover guys for 5 seconds in the NFL. You just can't. I don't care if you're Richard Sherman in his prime. I don't care if you're Cromartie in this prime. You can't cover NFL receivers for 5 seconds. They have the advantage. And by the time these guys get pressure now, Legarius Sneed, Rashad Fenton, Tre'Davious Ward, they're all making plays. Nick Bolton has improved.
Again, because they're healthy.
And Frank Clark all of a sudden has reverted back to Seattle Frank Clark. Yeah. Frank Clark looks incredible.
But again, they're all healthy, even Tre'Davious Ward. They're healthy. Nick Bolton, Willie Gay, young players who are actually getting playing time and stuff like that to where they're able to make plays. So now they feel – see, this is what I tell people. People always talk about, you can learn by being on the sideline. And I wasn't a big proponent of – look, if you're going to draft Patrick, I wasn't a big proponent of him sitting behind Alex Smith. It is what it is. I know if Deshaun Watson was drafted, I know he could come in and start right away. But they always felt he could learn. To me, the best education is being out there on the field. As much as Justin Fields and others are getting beat up as rookies, that's the best education for me because now you know what to expect. Because if you have to wait 2-3 years to get out there on the field, you're still going to be like a rookie. You still ain't going to know what to expect. But because Nick Bolden and Willie Gay, they've been in the fire. They've been able to go out there and make big plays, whether it's forced turnovers, interceptions, whatever, pick six. I mean, they've been able to contribute. That builds confidence. Now they feel like, hell, I can play at this level. I can go out here, spaz and call, do whatever. I know where I need to be. Dude, I'm telling you, man, it is a world of difference with the experience, the health, the players being able to play in different positions and being able to pressure the quarterback, getting after the quarterback, sacking the quarterback, creating turnovers for the offense, giving the offense extra possessions. That again, mind you now, the offense wasn't getting extra possessions from the defense. The offense was actually creating other opportunities for the other team because they kept turning the ball over. Man, there's a lot, and I don't want to say it's like what came first, the chicken or the egg, but by the success of what they got going on. But everything is clicking on all cylinders for Kansas City at the moment, and the other thing is because I believe in the coaching and getting them mentally prepared because they know what's ahead of them. They know where they know where they were for most of 2021 in this football season at the bottom of the cellar. Now you're at the top of the division. That's where you're used to being. You are the two-time defending AFC champion of this. There's no reason why you can't take care of business from here on out.
Before we go to break, I do want to talk about Monday Night Football on the other side of the break, last night's game. Switching to the offense, something to keep a lookout for is at wide receiver. Wide receiver 2, to be exact. Byron Pringle took about 50% of the snaps last week. Mecole Hardman was basically only there for jet sweeps and wide receiver screens. I mean, Mecole Hardman's snap count has just been plummeting. DeMarcus Robinson is getting, what, handful of snaps now? And then Josh Gordon just has not taken any sort of step. He's shown stones for hands when he's been targeted. Everyone keeps yelling for him to get the ball, but when he gets the ball, he drops it. Is Byron Pringle now the bona fide, legitimate number 2 wide receiver? Not saying he's some superstar wide receiver too, but is he the guy the Chiefs trust most going forward, and do we see his snap count continue to rise?
Ooh, that's a good question, Sterling. Ooh, that's a good one. See, it's hard for me to blame Josh Gordon for anything, man, because the Chiefs have put him in this situation. I mean, don't have him.
You can blame his hands.
I mean,
I get it, but you don't give the team any confidence when your number is called.
I don't think you forget how to catch a football. Well,
apparently he did.
Yeah, but see, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, you got him out there for 20 snaps, and then the only time you actually go to him, I mean, they only went to him twice.
Sure.
In the last game against Cowboys, and one of them may have been by design. The other one may have just been nobody else is open. Let me throw it to him, and he may not be expecting it. I get it. You're professional. You should be expecting it at all times. It is what it is. But again, his success, I blame that more so on the coaching staff, and Eric Bieniemy, to his credit, would take the blame and would blame the offensive coaches on why we're not seeing the best of Josh Gordon right now. But being the main answer to your question about Byron Pringle, yeah, man, it's hard for me to say yes, but I'll go in that direction. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Byron Pringle's shown the most rapport with Patrick Mahomes. He's not the fastest, obviously. He's not the most athletic, but he finds ways to get it done.
And you know,
and
what?
That's what matters.
I think, and if I remember correctly, I think the interception that Patrick had, he shows up running back on defense and making the play to save a touchdown. So, yeah.
I mean,
that's fair.
He's just that hardworking guy. It's fun to see Byron Pringle, someone with his – he wasn't highly touted. You know, he wasn't a second-round –
would he be?
He wasn't a second-round draft pick. It's just fun seeing sometimes these underdogs, a local kid, K-State, come up with this type of success. It's fun.
It is. No, I like Byron. I expect good things from him. I expect big things from him between now and mid-February.
Well, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. I do want to touch on last night's game, Monday Night Football, between the Seahawks and Washington football team, and then we'll switch gears and talk some NBA. I know Darren has to get all his parlays in. Darren and Sterling here, ESPN Kansas City.
Hi, Ollie Gates here. The Gates family would like to say thank you for allowing us to serve you for 75 years, a milestone which would not have been possible without your support. Thanks again, and remember, whatever the case may be, keep the faith.
Welcome back to Darren and Sterling here, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM. Little Bow Wow, remember him? Or Like Mike?
Oh, yeah.
What a movie. What a movie. Last night's game was what a horrible football game. Washington football team against Seattle. At least it was close. Russell Wilson looks like he is just completely done. Looks like he is washed. I don't know if he's still hurt or what, but he does not look good. And then the last part of the game, they actually recovered the onside kick, but dude was 1 yard inside the hash, lined up incorrectly, not even involved in the play, and they had a re-kick. That was brutal.
Yeah, that was rough for them. I don't know if it's more so. I think he's mentally checked out of Seattle. I don't think he's washed. I just think he's mentally changed. I just think he needs a change of scenery. And I really don't think that the players are vibing off of Pete Carroll any longer. I mean, sometimes you can just run your course. Now, he's not going to go anywhere, but I mean, I can't see a scenario where he comes back or whatever. So
I think Pete Carroll's going to have a nice retirement. He's not going to get fired. I don't think Pete Carroll gets fired, but I think there might be a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge into the year. Maybe he takes a retirement because he's 70-something.
No, he's 70.
70 exactly?
Yep.
Same age as Nick Saban, so he's 70. That's about time. Pete Carroll still looks youngish. He still gets out there and can yell at refs, but obviously, it's not working in Seattle.
Pete Carroll probably try to make that generational wealth. I mean, look, when you look at the pricing or the cost that these colleges are paying these coaches, it's crazy.
You think he goes back to college, Pete Carroll?
I mean,
no, that's a young man's game, man.
Dude,
it's a young man's game.
He still puts on pads up in Seattle. He coaches the defense. No, hey man, if anybody's about that life, it's him.
No way.
Yeah, way. Seriously.
No way. I don't think there's any chance that he would go to college. You're not going to travel that much. You're not going to do all that stuff. I think Pete Carroll, once he's done with Seattle, I think he's done. I think he retires. There's no reason for him. He's accomplished so much in the game of football.
You need to have a reason.
I think Seattle's about time, though, to tear down, rebuild. I think Russell Wilson, he either doesn't seem interested or he's not the guy anymore, but the ceiling or the what you had, I think, is gone. Those teams, the Legion of Boom, you know, the offense, because he has good receivers in DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. It's not like he doesn't have good players up there. It's not working. All season long, it's not working. I think Seattle would do better to rebuild than try and hold on in a division that's this talented. I don't see them getting lucky.
Really?
No, I mean, you got to face the Rams, the Cardinals, who are on the up and up. You got to face San Fran, who's going to be a tough game week in and week out. If you're Seattle, you got to start fresh. Get some draft picks. That's what I think.
Yeah, but who you? I mean, one, you. I mean, you would do that, but I don't know if Russell Wilson, if he has a no trade clause or whatever, like Deshaun Watson does. I know last year he posted and made, you know, well, I think his agent put out there a list of teams that he would be willing to be traded for. I think if you can, I mean, if you can acquiesce that, but again, you got to figure out a spot for him. I know I hear Molly Quorum always talk about him coming to New York. But they got to be healthy. They got to have an offensive line. I just don't see him being with New York. But I can see that he would do it for his wife. He can't go to L.A. no more because there's no, you know, there's no opening out there. Unless they don't, you know, Matthew Stafford don't take him to the promised land, Sterling. They might, you know, they might make a move off of him.
Matt Stafford?
Yeah.
They're not moving away from Matt Stafford.
Well, I mean, it's not that they signed him to a contract extension.
They're not. The Rams and Matt Stafford have shown great rapport this season. Unless they just completely limp to the finish line.
Let me ask you this. If you are Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, and you had a choice between Matthew Stafford and Russell Wilson, who do you think they're going to go with?
This year, Stafford's looked better. This year. I don't know if Russell Wilson is on the decline. Because Russell Wilson struggled last year, too. Russell started off the first, what, eight games?
I don't think he's on there. I just think, again, man, now we talked about it during the summer, man, where he wanted out of there. I mean, sometimes you can just run your course, man. I mean, again, Pete Carroll had been there for a long period of time. We talk about Bill Belichick, but those are two different beasts. You know, maybe his rah-rah speeches just ain't doing it anymore because, I mean, look, they got their players. I mean, you still got Bobby Wagner. You got Jamal. I mean, they got players on defense. And they got skilled players on offense, but for whatever reason, it ain't clicking.
I think Russell Wilson needs to shoulder a lot of the blame, though. And I think that's where I just think that's where it's at. If you're struggling to score in an offense that was built to this, that team is built to score points. Russell Wilson has not been the let Russ cook. That's over. So I would probably say at this point, Matt Stafford would be the better option. Matt Stafford has put up some fantastic numbers. He struggled the last couple weeks, I'll give you that. But over the course of the full season.
Last 3 weeks he struggled.
And Russ has too, besides the injury. He came back last week and this week. He's had 2 weeks.
Yep.
Been bad.
Was Matthew's excuse.
Same thing as Mahomes. Guys go through stretches where they struggle.
He's broken?
No, he's not broken. But every team, every quarterback goes through stretches where they struggle. Lamar Jackson's a good quarterback. He was horrible last game. Horrendous.
But you know what, though? He found a way to win.
Sure. I'm just saying, though, every single team, every single quarterback player, they go through stretches like this. It just depends on how long it is, and Russell Wilson's has been going on for a while now. That's where I'm at. Washington. They're now in the NFC East hunt. Taylor Heineke played pretty well. Antonio Gibson had a very good game on the ground. That defense was what we expected that defense to look like at the start of the season, and they were still missing Chase Young. Washington, do they have any chance of winning the NFC East, of sneaking in with that extra playoff spot now? What do you think about Washington?
Well, right now they actually sit in the last position, in the last wild card position. So if the playoffs start today, they would be in, and so. Give me 1 second. Sorry, man. You know when the Chiefs send you a text message, you gotta get back to them right away.
The Chiefs? What are they asking you?
About my COVID testing.
They said, Darren, who should we bet on this week?
Hey, this is fun. This is fun. They probably you stupid.
Hey, Darren, over under.
You know what? I was telling a story. I don't know who I told. I was telling a story. That they weren't real happy with me confronting Patrick about that last year in Vegas. Like, hey, man, dude, I'm like, Patrick, good win tonight. Couldn't win by at least eight tonight. I mean, it was like, really, dude? I was like, hey, man, hey, you know.
I don't want a Pete Rose situation. Come on, Darren.
Hey, it is what it is. Hey, dude, hey, they know I bet on them live in game. That's what I did. Hey, that's what I did. I told you what I had to do for the game against Tennessee Titans. Hey, I bet on them big, and they were getting their ass handed to them. I saw
live against them.
I saw live betting in game, and look, they had the Chiefs. No, they had the Chiefs for some reason. No, so they were losing. They were losing at the half, and they were losing 27-3 at the half. But they still had Tennessee like plus 13. Like they were gonna lose. Like Chiefs gonna come back and win. Oh, I took that. I bet like $400 to get that back and then some, and won all my money back. I wanted a piece of that action and got it too.
Well, what we're going to do is take a quick break. We're going to come back, finish up with some NBA talk, as well as see what Darren is going to throw some money on. I know there's money to be thrown around on that Suns-Golden State game tonight, and I want to see which way Darren is leaning. Take a quick break. Darren and Sterling here, ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to Darren and Sterling here, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and 1510.com. We are live in studio on this pretty beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Darren, time for some NBA talk. Let's go with the big game.
What do you want to know?
Who wins? We got the 17-3 Phoenix Suns, who have won 16 straight games, hosting.
I thought it was 17.
16.
Okay.
Hosting the Golden State Warriors, who have won 7 games in a row.
That's
themselves.
Where the 7 came from, yeah.
And they are 18-2.
And Golden State is the 2-point underdog in this game.
Guess who I went with?
Golden State.
Chef Curry, baby.
Hey, man. Actually, take it back. They were a 3-point underdog. So I did a couple of parlays. I had the Warriors winning straight up just because I was like.
That's what I got. I got straight up. Come on.
No. But so.
Show some confidence in your convictions.
No, it's not that. It ain't the confidence. It'd be sometimes they'll win, but you don't have enough points on your side. So that's some free money. I decided to buy me some points tonight. So.
Money's never free.
Well, it was on this one. Yeah. So I got two parlays for tonight. Games versus games. I have a 17 parlay, then I have a 5-team parlay, and this is with free money that I got. So if I most I can win on is up to 500. So tell me if you like this. Tell me what you think. Now they got Brooklyn Nets 7.5-point favorites over the Knicks.
Knicks.
You got the Knicks?
The points. Did I already bust your?
Yeah, well.
So over one. We disagree here.
No, so I bought points for the Nets. So the Nets only have to win by 4.5.
Okay, I like that better. The Knicks, they bring – it's a rock fight every single game. Yeah. And they're starting to figure it out offensively. And now Kemba Walker
– is on the bench.
They're on the bench. Not even on the bench. Out of the rotation.
So I got the total under 222.5 points.
Like it. I like the under there. Again –
but I also bought points, so they have to under 219 kind of saves me.
I like it. And again, the reason why is taking Kemba out, that shores up that defense. The New York Knicks, they already have a very good defensive roster. That's why they're constructed. Again, it's going to be a rock fight.
I've got the over 213. So I bought some points. So instead of it being 210.5, I got up to 213.5 between Memphis Grizzlies and Toronto Raptors.
You got over.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, and I'll tell you about it. May have been 216, and I bought the 3 points to make it 213.
Yeah, the Grizzlies, they've been not the defensive stalwarts that they have in the past. It's no longer the, what was it, the grind time Grizz? Because they're giving up 115 points a game.
That's what I'm saying. But they can also score, too.
Sure. No, they can't. So John Morant. So They have completely transformed from the grind time Grizz to the showtime Grizz, the John Morant and JJJ.
So I told you I got the Warriors plus 115 on this one. So this that's,
sure.
So that's the odds. And then the total between the Warriors and the Suns, 221.5 points. So I bought 3 points to get it down to 218.
You going
so
over?
Over
going
218.
I like that.
Okay. Now, I got the Kings. Instead of the Kings, who are 4-point underdogs against the Lakers at home for some reason, I bought 3 points. They're plus 7 now against the Lakers. I think they beat the Lakers, but
the Kings are the most.
They beat the Lakers in triple overtime over the weekend.
Well, they might be the most interesting team. I don't understand them. They win when they're not supposed to. They lose when they're supposed to win. The Kings make no sense.
Here's funny. Here's funny about what you say about teams winning. The Detroit Pistons. I got the Pistons are a 7.5-point underdog against the Trailblazers. But they'll fool around like they did the Lakers. They were a 9-point underdog and lost by 3. I think they show that same grit. I bought 3 points. I got them losing by 10.5. So if they win, I win. But you know, as long as they don't get blown out, I got a chance. I feel like I got a chance with this. And I also got a 5-leg parlay. I know you want to hear it.
I would love to hear this.
Golden State plus 6. I bought 3 points.
I think that's a lock.
Brooklyn Nets minus 4.5. I told you I bought that. Maybe I should have gone the other way. I could still probably do something like that. I got Golden State again with the 218 plus 3. But here's this. Duke minus 3 against Ohio State.
See, you threw in college basketball, and I was not going to lie to you. I was almost going to go with Ohio State this game.
I like what they did.
Straight up.
I like what they did to Gonzaga.
I hate
a lot of comeuppance on that. And then I bought 1.5 points. I don't really know why I did it, but I got it over 145 points.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a 75-70 ball game.
Yeah, Ohio State though, they're not traditionally a whole bunch of high scoring games. Duke though, I can see Duke surprised me when they beat Gonzaga, obviously. I thought Gonzaga was gonna run the table.
Man,
they
shot the whole hell out of me.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it, but
I won for some reason. I felt Duke being the number one team. I felt a little safe having that into a parlay with the other, because again, I was trying to think of a way to build a smaller parlay where I could, you know, maybe put a few dollars on it. But I thought the simplest thing was Nets, Golden State, and Phoenix. Again, Phoenix could mop the floor with Golden State, which again, as long as they win and win by 6 or less, I'm good. As long as they go over, I'm fine. So I'm fine with Phoenix winning if it happens that way. I just think Golden State is just. I just think I don't know if the game's on TV tonight. I mean, I'll be able to watch it on my stuff, but I don't know if it's like on ESPN or TNT. But this is a game that I'm going to watch tonight.
Oh,
somehow,
yeah.
Someway.
It's going to be incredible.
And I just think Duke and, you know, to be my luck, they'll score 144 points just to screw me over with no Vaseline. So, but I do have one player parlay, and it's a big one.
Is it a big one?
It's a 10-leg.
Well, man.
Hey, I only had like $3 left in real cash to play on this because
you lost so much in the other bets.
No, because I bet big on Seattle last night. What happened? They lost by 2 instead of winning by 2. But that's how I ended up getting free money, because they had a thing, Cyber Monday, whatever. You bet this much, they give it to you free play. So winning, I still won. Steph Curry, 32 points tonight.
I love it.
Steph Curry, 6 rebounds.
I like it.
Steph Curry, 8 3-pointers. Hey, this is one of them games he shows out for, man.
Yeah.
I mean, because, look.
Is he going to tee up into the ref?
Hold on. Hey, I had him in for 7 3-pointers the other night. He hit for 8. So, I mean, it's possible.
Oh, no, dude, no. Yeah. It's possible.
I mean, dude. Hold on. It's Steph. If it was anybody else, I'd be worried about it. Steph Curry gets 2 steals tonight.
Again, I like it.
Okay. Kevin Durant, 29 points.
I like that.
Kevin Durant, 8 rebounds. He averages 9 rebounds. I mean, he's literally the big man.
He's their big man.
James Harden, 9 rebounds.
I like it.
James Harden, 10 assists.
I also like that one.
Evan Fournier, 3 field goals, 3 three-pointers.
He should.
Patty Mills, 4 three-pointers.
Oh, no, man.
Patty Mills had 7 the other night. Dude, what are you talking about?
Yeah, now you got to take the under. See, that's the thing. Patty Mills, is he going to consistently give you 7 threes a game?
Patty Mills is balling.
He's balled this year. I'll give you that. But, dog.
He has one job. That's not down 3-point shots.
No, and defense and a control.
Well, okay,
no,
then
but
he's doing them both well.
No, man. I like Patty Mills. But betting money on Patty Mills is something. 1-800 bets off.
$2 for $2,038.
Oh, man. If you win, you're going to be drinking a lot more than Sprite, huh?
Yep. If this hits, I'm taking you to Gates.
Man, what a gentleman. We'll see if it hits. If it hits, Darren might not be in studio tomorrow. This was Darren and Sterling here, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM. We'll be back live in studio tomorrow from 3 to 4 p.m. We are out.